Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel, did you know Heather just said that the Kings game had just started? I'm thinking that's probably not going to cost us any audience at this point in time. In the travel news, Disney ticket prices pass a magical barrier. Delta is upgrading Wi-Fi in the sky, and Alaska has a pretty good sale for those who can fly Tuesday, Wednesday, or Saturday.
Now, if you're a traveler who saves miles or points, you're going to want to be here at 3:20. Ben Schlopik, our man about the planet, shares his wisdom.
At 3:35, Gwen Duncan stops by with the deal of the week and tells us about a snow festival. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, a snow festival at Tahoe.
If you like riding the rails, we're going to introduce you to North America's most scenic train ride, the Rocky Mountaineer in the Canadian Rockies. That's up at 3:40.
And finally, at 3:55, we have a touching story about how one airplane ticket is changing dozens of lives. That's right, one ticket.
All that right here, live from the KFPK studios. Mark and Tom, you're listening to the Travel Guys.
Road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I'm a traveling man, king of the road, riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone. We are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom. Tom Romano, Mark Hoffman, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. For all the Kings fans, who quickly tuned over to the game as soon as they found out that it was on and have tuned out.
They're already back.
Of the Travel Guys, I guess we're just going to have to miss you. And I was giving Mark a little bit of a hard time there while we were doing the intro music about hard-timing my Kings. I'm a huge Kings fan, and
I look forward to being a huge Kings fan. Well, I'm waiting for that bandwagon to come by.
You were a major Kings fan. You used to be in the locker room when you were the sports guy.
Well, I was
guy.
Doing the sports radio stuff in the 90s, yeah. And then we had those great teams after the turn of the century. But as we were talking, George Karl, things could be starting to turn for the good.
I believe in what I know about you. A lot of your dislike or issues with the Kings had the word maloof attached to it for such a long time. And just to remember that.
I might not be the only guy in town that feels
that
way.
Yeah, well, that's no longer the case. And
no.
We hope the best for them. And I, with George Karl,
we're going to have a beautiful
be
new
a
arena
year.
Downtown that is going to change the face of this city. So if we get a new arena and a championship basketball team shows up, the attitude of this city will go up. The ego of this city will go up about three notches. And that would be a good thing for Sacramento. I really believe that.
From somebody who's done a lot of traveling to cities that have built major arenas, do you see, from a travel standpoint, that increasing travel to Sacramento and the profile of the city as a
absolutely.
Travel destination?
Oh, absolutely. It's going to make I would be surprised if old Sacramento doesn't have a complete rebirth when the arena is built, because you're not only going to have 40 basketball games, but you're going to have all these concerts and special events. And, you know, remember, Billy Graham came and parked out for a week at Arco Arena. So, I mean, it's not just about sporting events. It's about all kinds of things that can take place that are spectator events or that can take place on the floor of the arena that might not be spectator events. There's going to be a lot of reasons for people to go downtown, and I think it's going to be a good thing for Sacramento. Now, I take people to San Francisco to see a lot of events, and a lot of those things are going to start coming to Sacramento, so it's not particularly going to be great news for those of us who are used to taking people other places. But I remember the first night I went out to a Kings game in the 80s, and we got home in time to see the highlights on television, and I thought that was amazing. I had never gotten home in time from a sporting event I'd been to in my whole life, a major league sporting event, and got to see. Anyway, this is a travel show, so we probably should talk about travel.
Well, with that being said, and for those of you that have never tuned into this show before today, one of the things we do at the top of the show is bring you the travel news. Fire up the band. Mark, what do you got for us?
If you've been out to Sacramento International Airport in the last few days, you see the signs as you come in. If you haven't and you're flying on American Airlines, remember that American Airlines has changed terminals.
Oh, really?
They're merging with U.S. Airways.
Moving to B?
They're in the old terminal now. And they're in the old terminal.
Oh, they were in A.
They were in A.
And
now they're moving
to A.
Yeah, they're going to the old terminal with U.S. Air, United, and Delta, and JetBlue. So that only leaves Alaska.
And Southwest.
And Southwest. And the 3-1 fly today, guys. Valaris, Aeromexico, and Hawaiian are all flying out of the new terminal. Mm-hmm. So American is over in the old terminal where there is precious few places to eat. We're going to get the airport guy on, and we're going to talk to him about those things.
I'm guessing, with that being said, you have there in your news about Southwest flying to a new destination in Dallas a couple of times a week.
Yeah, yeah. That's every day there's going to be, it starts soon, there's going to be a morning flight down to Dallas, which will be a great way to connect.
April 18th. We just, in fact, right here on this very radio station, come Monday, there will actually be a little 15-second ad for Southwest.
Oh, my goodness.
Touting that very fact.
Disney, we mentioned in the headlines, has raised theme park prices. They're now up over $100. Disneyland, Disneyland is $99, but the most magical place on Earth is $99. But some of the other Disney parks now are going up over $100. So it's a $100 bill to get into Disneyland. I'd
be curious to see what the ceiling is.
Yeah,
because you know that
you don't get into Disneyland and only spend $100.
No.
You if you've taken children, even if you're there on your own, you have to eat, you have to drink, you have to souvenir, you have to, anything you buy carries, theme park prices. So a volcano erupted. This is a brand new story today. Russian volcano. I wish I could pronounce this correctly, but I'll take a shot at Shivalik volcano.
Mm-hmm.
I probably butchered that terribly, but it's canceled 4 Alaska Airlines flights up in Alaska by the Bering Sea up there. So
you do not want to fly over a recently erupted volcano.
No, Alaska points that out.
Bad idea.
They talk about, according to the U.S. Geological Survey, volcanic ash sucked into a jet engine could cause immediate deterioration in engine performance and engine failure, as well as seriously erode moving engine parts. Now, if I'm on an airplane, those are not things.
None of those are good.
None of that is good. Marriott has said that they are getting tough on points expiration. Marriott has always had a rule that their points would expire if you didn't use them for 2 years or have any activity in your account. They have never enforced that rule. They've decided starting next year they will. So it's pretty easy. If you've got some Marriott points, you want to keep them alive, you can buy 1,000 points on their website for $12.50. So if you had some points that you wanted to keep alive, that would be the simplest way of doing it. But there are lots of other ways. If you have Marriott points, you're going to have to do something by February of next year to keep them alive. Here is something interesting. Airbnb, American Express now, is offering Airbnb gift cards. I saw this morning when I was browsing the American Express site.
Fascinating.
You can cash in 10,000 points and get a $125 Airbnb gift card. Imagine that. Talk about the new economy. If I were hotel people, I'd start to be a little bit concerned about
next, that. Next, it's going to be discounts for Uber.
The DOT has decided that United does not have to honor some mistake fares. Here's what happened. Earlier this month, some United fares showed up on their United's Denmark website, offering international trips for less than $100. It was simply a mistake. It was an honest mistake. The DOT says United doesn't have to honor the tickets that were issued there, even though recent decisions have said that those mistake tickets had to be honored. Here's how United got out of this one. When you log in order to get these fares, you had to log on. And of course, it was spread throughout the frequent flyer world, I'm sure, very quickly that this was available. And so you logged on to United's Denmark website. Well, then you had to declare that you were a Denmark resident.
Uh-oh.
So all of these people bought these tickets under, in essence, false pretenses. So that's how United got out of
it. How do you define an honest mistake, Mark?
Well,
because you said
it was obvious you post a fare for $99 to fly to Hong Kong when it's supposed to be, $19.95 or something.
Yeah,
I guess that
would be an honest mistake.
All right. Delta is upgrading their in-flight Wi-Fi, they say. The current system replaces the new system will replace the current ground to air approach by bouncing the wireless signal off airplane mounted antenna to space satellites.
Sure.
So it won't have to do with the ground anymore.
So they'll supposedly get faster and more reliable reception.
Yes, and if you've used Wi-Fi on planes, I was using it last night on United coming in from Houston or from Houston to Denver, Denver to Houston, to Sacramento, and the technology is not that good, and you have to pay $8 or $10 for it. Don't get too excited, though. Delta says this won't happen until the middle of 2016. Alaska Airlines is having a pretty good sale that they have announced. It's good. The sale is going to go here for a few more days. You've got to book at least 14 days in advance. Some destinations are as low as $45 one way. If you're thinking about going to Boise or Palm Springs or a couple of destinations that Alaska serves from here, I doubt that Seattle is $45, but you might snag a, a good Portland fair or something on there. But something to look at. Nice. Alaska has some pretty good sales. They don't come up very often. And the other thing Alaska does is they go to Hawaii. And so this sale is good for...
I'm jotting that down
tickets
right
to Hawaii also. And finally, the last travel news story today. Tom, remember, if you remember, a few months ago, there was a drug smuggling operation at Hartsfield, Atlanta, at Atlanta's Hartsfield Airport, and a bunch of baggage handlers and stuff, where they'd apparently been smuggling these guns in for quite a number of months. And so they have made some serious changes in the way that airport security is handled now in Atlanta. So it used to be that if you worked on the ramp or you were just a baggage handler, that you showed your badge and they let you in. You didn't have to go through security or anything. Now you do, which I will suggest to you is probably a good idea. Only Atlanta is one of only two airports in the country so far that requires, or only three, Atlanta and Miami and Orlando or the others. So one would hope that soon the rest of the airports... I'm not in favor of anybody getting into that secure area without being checked out.
Absolutely not.
You know, if you're piloting a plane, we'll run your luggage through the same screener that everybody else does. Because as soon as you have a weak spot, that's where folks are going to pick out. That is the travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, the man about the planet, our mileage points and guru.
Oh, Ben Schlappig. Yeah. Ben has got some really, really good information. You know, Ben started living around the world literally about this time last year, so he has an update on that, an update on some of the other frequent flyer things. I was on Ben's website today, One Mile at a Time. It's kind of interesting. If you write a public website, it's amazing the things people will say to you. I mean, not necessarily nice things, and Ben's a pretty nice guy, and he writes about pretty innocuous
people
things.
People can find something bad to say about everybody.
It's pretty interesting. Anyway, you can go to travelguysradio.com to find links to all the stuff from the news or anything, any of our guests or anything we talk about today. Travelguysradio.com. It's all posted for you there.
We'll be back with Ben right after this on The Travel Guys.
We are The Travel Guys on KFBK. I'm Tom Romano, Mark Hoffman, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And it's been a while since we've had our next guest on, sort of a semi-regular over several years, all the way back to when he was still in college. Mark, introduce our guest.
Well, yeah, and literally he is, as you mentioned when we were talking before the interview, Tom, he literally is the man who lives out of a suitcase. Ben Schlappig, who is our points guru and our man about the planet. We literally have been chasing Ben all over the planet for a number of months, and pleased to finally connect with him. Ben is a difficult guy to catch up to. If you want to talk to him in person, you can talk to him online or something anytime. Ben, welcome back to The Travel Guys.
Thanks for having me, Mark and Tom. I appreciate it.
Ben, to bring the folks up to date who maybe are new listeners to the program, we'll talk about the points and miles part of your career and how you make a living in a little bit. But you have been doing something that you started last year, right after the Freddie Awards, I think, that were in Seattle in April. And you told me when we were there, you had decided that it just wasn't cost effective to live in an apartment or someplace and only be there for 4 or 5 days out of the month, and that you were going to pull up your stakes. You had gotten rid of some things and you were going to become mobile and move around the planet for a couple weeks at a time. So how has that worked out for you?
Yeah, exactly. At the time, I was home basically 1 week per month, and I figured at that point it made more sense just to get rid of my home and car. And, you know, there's so many fewer payments I have to make and might as well just move into hotels full time. It's worked out very well. It's been about 10 months now, which is very exciting. On one hand, it is very exhausting because Mo was in a different time zone, but it is also very exciting. I couldn't even tell you off the top of my head where I've been in the past month alone, but it's been an absolutely crazy year so far flying. I've flown about 100,000 miles this year so far, and that's 2 months in. So it's quite a bit of travel, and that's very exciting.
Ben, can you at least share with us how many different destinations that you have been to in the last 10 months, or, you know, how many different countries, or just kind of a ballpark for our listeners?
Yeah, I've done, I think, probably about 30 countries in the past 10 months,
wow.
I guess. These are largely countries I've been to before, and I do tend to travel pretty repetitively, so... for example, this year so far in the first 2 months, I've been to Dubai already 5 times separately. So kind of, I think the 30 countries doesn't really do justice to just how much I've been moving, unfortunately.
So you're almost a local.
I know Dubai better than I know, I think, any U.S. city at this point.
So is that your favorite destination?
Not really. You know, it's great in terms of the hotel value, because if you go kind of in the off season, hotels are just dirt cheap there because it gets so warm. So if you're living in hotels full time, it's a great place to spend a lot of time.
Now, you actually pay for your hotel rooms on occasion?
I do a mix. So basically the idea is with points in general is that you want to pay for your travel, whether it's flights or hotels, when the tickets are cheap or when the stay is cheap. And then basically you want to redeem your points for those expensive stays. So, for example, I will make a lot of cheap stays at a Park Hyatt or a Hyatt or, you know, Starwood property in Dubai, for example. And then I try to redeem in the peak season. So, for example, I was in Sydney and I stayed at the Park Hyatt there on points, which would have cost otherwise about $1,200 a night. So that was the idea, is to earn cheap and burn expensive.
Tom, we are talking to the man who knows how to maximize the value of those miles and points for certain. Ben, it's the game is changing a lot. Now, two of the major carriers have a, you know, I'm a United frequent flyer, and this year, in order to get my status back that I have this year, I'm going to have to spend $12,000 on United tickets. Delta has a similar program. The airline that you are, is your preference currently, American, has not gone to that sort of a program. It kind of sort of seems inevitable. What's your take on the frequent flyer programs, where we are now and where we might be headed?
Yeah, I mean, I do this for a living, and even so, it's impossibly complicated to actually keep up with kind of all the metrics these airlines are using nowadays for earning miles. If you look at Delta, that, you know, you earn elite qualifying miles based on how much you fly, but you earn elite redeemable miles based on how much you spend. They've made it so complicated, it's, I think, impossible almost to keep up with. I'm sort of hopeful that American will not follow the lead of Delta and United. All the airlines are making quite a bit of money now. So it's not kind of out of desperation that they'd need to make these changes anymore. And hopefully for American, they can kind of differentiate themselves by still rewarding loyalty as opposed to just how much you spend on a ticket.
Ben, talking about how difficult and how complicated it is to sort all this out, tell our listeners what it is that you actually do for a living that somewhat relates to that.
Well, I do. I write a blog about miles and points. So that's at onemileatatime.com. And then I also have a point consulting service. So my colleagues and I, we basically help people redeem their miles because most people don't know how best to use them. If you're looking to go to Europe in summer or, you know, Australia in winter, that's kind of what we help with.
And you can go to Ben's blog, and if you're interested in having him assist you with getting, he does charge for his services. But if you've tried to book a frequent flyer ticket on your own, then you have some idea already of how complicated that can be. So sometimes having the services of a professional is best. Our guest is Ben Schlappig. Ben is all about the world traveler and frequent flyer and miles guru. Ben, I wanted to ask you before we change subjects here. Southwest has announced that they are going to make some heretofore unknown revisions to their frequent flyer program. They devalued it last year by about 16%. Now they have indicated that some flights are going to cost more, perhaps, than what the standard point values have been. Do you have any update on that, or any guess where that might be headed?
Yeah, I mean, the change from Southwest is very interesting because they're basically announcing 2 months in advance that they're making a change, but they're not saying necessarily what that change is. So Southwest is kind of different traditionally than American and Delta and United, and that's because the points you redeem with them, the cost of a reward ticket is based entirely on how much a paid ticket would be. So in other words, you know, you would pay double as many points for a flight if the paid cost were 400 versus 200. So my guess is literally that they're trying to do basically more to prevent people from redeeming on expensive flights. So the idea is if a flight is going to be full, they don't want you to redeem points for it. And I guess the way they'll do that is by charging even more points proportionally for those flights that they predict will be full. So I guess we'll see in April how that actually happens. But it's a very, I guess, sad day for kind of these revenue-based frequent flyer programs. But we'll see where that goes.
Well, and it may very, very well, some people think it will spell the end to them, that Southwest may have made a mistake by getting into this type of a program in the first place. And I guess I would suggest to our listeners and to you, Ben, that, you know, I tell folks frequently on this program, anytime that you see that your hotel chain or your preferred airline is issuing a credit card and offering an unbelievable bonus to people who sign up, it's a very, very bad sign, because it means that they are about to print a lot of currency and release a lot of miles and points. And at some point in time, people are going to start redeeming those. And a revenue manager is going to say, wait a minute, we're having a problem here. We're going to have to make an adjustment. So the goalposts are then moved. Summer Hall was with us last week and talking about that very thing, how frequent guest and frequent flyer programs, how they move the goalposts when you get too close to them, and
well,
how
really
frustrating
they've
that can be.
From frequent flyer programs, as we say, to frequent buyer programs, because nowadays it's all about the credit cards. So kind of the landscape is changing a lot.
Ben, before we let you go, any wisdom to our listeners out here? Anything you've picked up in the last few weeks that you'd like to share that might be helpful?
I think always keep evaluating your frequent flyer programs. There's so much value to be had if you're taking advantage of a hotel loyalty program or an airline loyalty program, but I think always evaluate and make sure you're actually getting more value out of the program than you're investing, because loyalty has to be a two-way street.
If you're trying to buy a frequent flyer ticket online and you're not having success, then you might want to contact Ben. We'll put a link to his website on travelguysradio.com, or you can look him up yourself at onemileatatime.com. Ben has an excellent record and a reputation throughout the industry, and so if you need some assistance, why, I can pretty much assure you that things will be on the up and up, and you'll probably end up with the ticket that you want, maybe for fewer miles, points, dollars, whatever combination you're using than you had planned. Ben, thanks for your time again. Be safe as you travel around the planet, and we'll check in again with you in a few months.
Thanks for having me, Mark and Tom. Hopefully speak soon.
And we are the Travel Guys. Tom, this was where you were supposed to talk, but you're over on the other side of the room. Coming up is Gwen Duncan, and then we're going to take you on the rails up to Canada, ride the Rocky Mountaineer. News, weather, and all that traffic information is next right here on News Radio KFBK.
If you ever plan to motor west.
Welcome back. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK, a little after 3:30. Thank you, Heather, for updating us on the news and the traffic and all that kind of stuff. The pinch point out here by Cal Expo on Business 80 is backing up a little bit, but that's kind of normal.
There you go, folks, coming home from a big ski weekend.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I want to tell you about a couple things that are on our website. We're going to talk. We've got a really cool story at the end of the show that I want to share with you a little bit later on. But there's a thing on the Travel Guys website, travelguysradio.com. This doesn't have anything to do with travel. I found it when I was looking at another travel story. It's in a list there. It says no one showed up to a little boy's autism birthday, so his mom asked Facebook for help. And you need to go there and see that, because it's probably the coolest story you will see all week. I'll give you a hint. Firefighters and policemen and stuff got involved in it. It's really a great story. TravelGuysRadio.com. And we've got a couple of cool stories we're going to share with you here before we get done at the top of the hour. Before we go to the trains, we've got Gwen Duncan on the line with us with the deal of the week, which has to do with a special event that's going on up in Lake Tahoe. And Gwen, when you first said, well, let's talk about something involving snow, I thought, boy, people are going to find that boring. But it actually snowed up there a little bit over the weekend.
Yes, it did. Not a lot, but enough to be able to have some of the activities that they're going to be having.
Enough that it's not the dirt festival instead of the snow festival.
Well, they've got some events that aren't reliant on snow as well, but it's something that started on the 28th. It's going to run through March the 8th, and it's called the Snowfest Tahoe Truckee. And it really covers all of North Tahoe area, a lot of the resorts. It's Squaw Valley, Alpine Meadows, Homewood, Diamond Peak, and North Star at Tahoe. And then a lot of other events that are going on with parties and concerts and theaters and stuff all over. But the benefit is to the philanthropic organizations up there, special ed, special education, and the firefighters, and the bands, and Kiwana, and all kinds of different things. It's for awareness and educational.
It looks like, Gwen, looking at the schedule on their website, it looks like there's all kinds of fun things. There's kind of a takeoff on an Iditarod dog race and some other fun things. And as you mentioned, it goes all the way through next weekend. So there certainly is plenty of opportunity for folks to get up there next weekend, or you could even go up during the week. There are some activities during the week. Yes, Tom?
And Gwen, is this mostly on the North Shore, you were saying?
Yes, Yes, it's North Shore and Truckee area.
Got it.
And yeah, and it's gonna have some. They've got a thing. It's called Wacky Winter Human Bowling. And then they've got a dress up the dog contest and paddleboard races and lots of different things. They said even to bring your swimming suit and take a plunge in. And
that, polar bear.
Yeah, but that's supposed to. I think that one is to support. I can't remember which one it supports. Oh, the Special Olympics. That one does the Special Olympics.
Got it.
It's philanthropic, and it sounds like a lot of fun. 10 days of family fun is driving distance away from us.
It's called the Lake Tahoe Snow Fest, and there is a link on the Travel Guys Radio website if you would like to go there and look it up. And maybe you could take, the weather stays nice, and we don't have
should
any,
be nice.
Yeah, I mean, you could go up next weekend and take the kids up and see the snow. Thank you, Gwen, for checking in with us today.
No problem. Talk to you later.
All right.
Thanks,
talk to you in
Gwen.
A couple of weeks.
Mark, are you much of a, you know, you get up to Tahoe once in a while with your travelers. Do you do much on North Shore? Everybody wants to go to South Shore. There's so much on North Shore that's
well, you've got
overlooked.
The Ritz-Carlton is up there now, and they're redoing the Calneva. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the old Frank Sinatra place. They're trying to get something going on there before Sinatra's 100th birthday comes up this December. So I always when I used to gamble, I liked to gamble on the North Shore because it was, you know, didn't gamble a lot of money, and it was all very relaxed and very kind of kicked back, and it wasn't quite as tension
filled. Yeah, a little slower.
Yeah, it just is a nice place. I like downtown Reno. I love going to Reno because it's just a very mellow, laid back sort of town, and you can gamble if you want to, but there are other things to do. I think Reno's a cool place. I'm one of those probably very few people on the planet. I would rather go to Reno than Las Vegas.
There you go. Yeah, that is a little rare.
All right, we got our next guest coming up here. Let's shift gears quickly and let's go to the trains.
You're in touch with the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, here on KFVK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And let's go north, way north.
Way north. Way north. Not quite to the North Pole, but
just short of that.
Yeah, up into Canada, to British Columbia and Alberta, where there is a spectacular train riding opportunity. You can go through the Canadian Rockies. This company also has a wonderful train ride, day train, up to the Whistler Resort area. But the Canadian Rockies one is the one we're talking about today. It's called the Rocky Mountaineer. And Shannon Kidd is our guest on the phone. Hi, Shannon.
Hello, gentlemen.
Nice to have you with us today all the way. Are you in Alberta or British Columbia?
I'm in the beautiful city of Vancouver. Overcast today, but not raining.
Wow. The Pacific Northwest, when the weather is good, is spectacular.
It is.
I was going to make a train sound about here, but I didn't know which kind of train sound I should use, whether it should be the standard steam locomotion train or the... What do we have here, Shannon?
Well, our trains are certainly a little ways away from an old-fashioned steam locomotive. They are really state-of-the-art on the rails. They are beautiful coaches, so all of them have been custom designed for us. And we've got our silver leaf domes and our gold leaf domes. Both of those have extraordinarily large picture windows so that you can see everything that's going by and around you. They're very roomy. You can get up and walk around in all of our trains. And they really do offer some incredible opportunity to see the scenery of what's passing by.
So I'm guessing it should be this one then, Mark.
I think so. Tom, as you have to understand, Tom, when it comes to sound effects and trains, is a bit of a schizophrenic. So you have this spectacular train that runs between Calgary or Jasper and Vancouver.
That's and right. And Seattle, by the way.
And down to Seattle on some trips, and the and it's a day train, so it's a 2-day trip. Explain to folks what you mean by a day train and why that's so important.
Sure. So we're an all daylight train, which essentially means that you spend your days on the train and you spend your evenings in beautiful hotels along the way. So the scenery here in Western Canada is some of the best in the world, and it is truly iconic and amazing. Snow-capped mountains, rushing rivers, deserts, everything you can imagine is outside the window there. And so we wouldn't want anyone to miss anything. So we have a nice long day on the train. We stop overnight in places like Kamloops and Quesnel in the interior of British Columbia. People can get off the train, have a little dinner, do some relaxing in the town, and then the next morning we're back on the train and we head into the Rockies on that second day. And Kamloops isn't that far geographically from the city of Vancouver here, which is nestled in a rainforest, as you know. And as you head up the canyon, you start to see things change. And when you get just outside of Kamloops, I mean, it's not dissimilar to Sedona, although Sedona is spectacular in terms of the geography there. It's those same colors. So it's the pinks and the tan tones that really signify that something has changed. There's some tumbleweeds. It's really quite beautiful. And the temperature changes so quickly as well. So you can leave Vancouver a nice cool 70 degrees, and by the time you get up to Kamloops in the middle of that desert, it can be, you know, 10 degrees warmer.
Now, Shannon, you have several different levels of service on the train, gold leaf, silver leaf, red leaf. We have full disclosure here. Sports Leisure Vacations has a group that's going on the train this summer, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. But there are three different types of service. We have chosen the middle one. Tell our listeners a little bit about, if you can, a little bit about the differences in the different services.
Absolutely. So our Silver Leaf and our Gold Leaf service are our domed fleet of cars. So those are custom-made cars, and we are about the four S's. So it's scenery, sweet and savory, which is our incredible food on board, socialization, and service. So whether or not you're in gold or silver, you're going to be getting incredible service by our onboard host team and our culinary team. They're going to give you great service as well as entertaining stories of the regions that are passing by. So they'll tell you what's going on outside the window. They'll also alert you, you know, when there's a wildlife sighting, an eagle or a bear, or maybe if you're very lucky, a moose. And so the Silver Leaf service, we've made a ton of enhancements to it this year. It's a beautiful car. It's got large oversized windows that also go up, so you can see very high, you can see the mountains, you can see out, and there's lots and lots of viewing space. Our gold leaf domes are also a little bit different than that. There's a dining room in the downstairs area of our gold leaf dome, so they're custom made, they're bi-level. If you're sitting up top in the gold leaf dome, it's like a panorama view. Well, so that's the main difference between the two classes of service.
Well, now we've talked all about the service. I don't know if I want to even get off the train, but we were talking about daytime you're traveling and at nighttime you're staying. Tell us about where it is that you stay. What kind of accommodations do you have for folks?
So I notice on your particular trip, you're staying in the iconic Canadian hotels in the Rockies. So we have beautiful accommodation. I think the Chateau Lake Louise is one of the most beautiful hotels I've ever seen. So you're staying at very stately old Fairmont, beautiful properties in the Rockies, and then some of Vancouver's great hotels as well.
Yeah, we should explain to folks who are listening that this is a two-day trip. And what many folks do is you can purchase, Shannon, there are add-on packages from the Rocky Mountaineer, right?
Yeah, absolutely. People want to have, we find, between a 7 and a 15-day trip. So depending on what your schedule is like, people spend extra days in each of our destinations. So you can spend 3 or 4 days in Vancouver, a couple of days in Seattle. You can go up through Kamloops, stay a couple of extra days in Jasper, Banff, Lake Louise. So you can make the vacation really as customized as you want it to be. So it can be as long as you want to be in beautiful Western Canada.
Our guest is Shannon Kidd from the Rocky Mountaineer. We're talking about train travel in Alberta and British Columbia, arguably the most scenic train ride that's available to you in North America, the highest quality of service. Our Sports Leisure Vacations is offering a trip on the Rocky Mountaineer if you'd like to go with a group in late July. As Shannon alluded to, it includes stops in Banff and Lake Louise and going up to the Columbia ice fields and the like. So it really is a deluxe package. You can also buy the train just by itself and create your own independent trip. We will put a link to the website on our site at travelguysradio.com. So if you'd like to know more about the Rocky Mountaineer, you can. Shannon, you mentioned that you have ridden the train before yourself. Any personal experiences you can share?
Absolutely. I've been very lucky to be on the train a number of times last season. One of the best trips I had was actually the trip that you're taking. So we went up to Jasper, and it was middle of the summer, so there was lots of wildlife. Actually saw a moose. And when we went down the Icefields Parkway to the beautiful glacier, you know, you take the Ice Explorer, which is like a ginormous tractor. It's really great for anyone that loves transportation methods. And you go up into the ice field, and there's lots of history there. But the water that's trickling down amongst the snow is just that incredible ice blue that you just can't duplicate. And
wow.
If you're lucky, somebody will give you a glass. You can have a little sip of it. It's pretty amazing.
A sip of glacier.
If you've never been there, the Rockies are some of the most spectacular scenery. Anywhere in North America, particularly the area up around Jasper, is absolutely phenomenal. The train is not inexpensive. because trains in general are not an expensive way to travel. Really and truly, if you love trains, this one should be at the very top of your bucket list, because this is riding the Rocky Mountaineer. I was on it a number of years ago, and I just, from the desert to the coast to the beautiful mountains, it's a spectacular experience. Shannon, thank you so much for sharing a little bit of the train ride with us. Thomas, you got a little sound effect back there again?
Oh, yeah. We always got one standing by.
All right.
Here we go. There it is.
We'll see you. We'll see you on the rail, Shannon.
Thanks so much, gentlemen. Take care.
We are the Travel Guys on News Radio KFBK. More to come.
More to come. Yeah, that we are a sign of more to come.
You know,
you're always playing with the train whistles.
I know. Now that I hear that train whistle, I always think, well, let's see, should I get a posturepedic or go on a train ride?
Did you play on the train tracks? Did you ever put pennies on the train tracks when you were a kid?
No, I never did. I never lived close enough to where there were trains. But I certainly heard lots of stories of that. I was in Old Sacramento one time, but I knew that I'd have to stand and wait for a long time for a train to go by there in Old Town to squish my penny. And then my favorite one, one of my wife's uncles. I think you might know him, Arnold.
Yes.
When he was a kid, I think he put his tongue on a frozen railroad track and got it stuck.
Goodness gracious.
He's still there.
All right, we are the Travel Guys. When we come back after the news, we're going to have a story about
Flying it forward. What do you think
called?
That might be about, huh?
Yeah.
Everybody's heard about passing it forward and or paying it forward.
Paying it forward.
Well, this time we're going to go flying it forward.
A cool story about the folks at JetBlue have created. We'll have that for you when we come back with the last segment of the Travel Guys here on KFBK.
We are the Travel Guys on KFBK. Mark Hoffman to my left. I'm Tom Romano. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark, a week ago you did the show on your own, by yourself, a couple weeks ago on Sunday, as I was off to San Antonio. Went to Rodeo Week.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, in San Antonio, Rodeo Week is actually 2 weeks long.
Uh-huh.
In fact, if you follow NBA basketball, the San Antonio Spurs are on what is referred to as their Rodeo Road Trip. They take that every year for 2 weeks on the road.
Oh, that's right, because the rodeo has to move in for 2 weeks into their arena.
Moves into AT&T Arena.
Uh-huh.
And so we did the rodeo and flew there, of course, on Southwest and back as well. And as we were flew through Phoenix, and as we landed in Phoenix and got ready to fly back to Sacramento, the stewardess comes on the intercom and says, "There'll be a slight delay, ladies and gentlemen, as we need to start one of our engines manually." Now, we've had to do this several times
today. What
does
that mean, to start an engine manually?
I don't know, but apparently this one plane, wherever it went throughout the day, was not something significantly wrong with the plane that they would not keep it in service, but it would stay in service, and they would manually start one of the engines. Now, I don't know if we have any pilots listening that could tell us what that is, or we get Henry next time we talk to him.
Yeah.
But I don't know what that is either.
I have no idea how you manually start an airplane engine, but I'm glad that they did it while they were on the ground, because I'm thinking it'd be a lot harder to do when you were in the air.
Well, you, when you're in the air, you've got air rushing through the engine, and it's kind of got a head start on. Got a kind of head start on maybe starting, but the only thing I can figure is that they have a maybe it was a they bring a battery over and they hooks. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. We were talking to Ben Schlappig earlier in the program. I love Ben's last name, Schlappig. I think it's just a great name. You know, it's just one of those names that just sound, it feels good to say it.
Well, when Ben becomes becomes famous, it'll be curious to see whether he changes his last
name. Probably isn't going to be too much longer for a guy who went to school and got out and has been now out of college for 3 or 4 years and is traveling around the world 2 weeks at a time. Listen, Ben has a blog called 1 Mile at a Time. And so after we interviewed Ben, I was on his blog and I was reading some of the things he posts. And of course, Glenn, Ben flies all over the planet, and oftentimes he flies in first class because he manipulates his miles and his points. And he's in with some of these airline guys. Some of them now call him and say, "We have this brand new service. Would you fly on it and review it for us?" Oh, darn. Wouldn't that be a rough life to have to fly and lay flat seats? And anyway, Ben posted, he goes by the name Lucky online, and his blog is 1 mile at a time, all one word, no spaces, 1mileatatime.com. He wrote this week, he gave the Gross Flight Attendant of the Year Award.
Okay.
And, he was flying from Tampa to Dallas. You can go to travelguysradio.com and you can read all about this. It was kind of an interesting flight, and he talks about this cabin attendant. It started to smell like fried chicken in the cabin, and this cabin attendant apparently had brought on fried chicken and mashed potatoes.
Oh, good. It was actually fried chicken.
And then as he started to eat it himself, Ben kind of has some narration there, and it kind of goes in a direction that we wouldn't want to go on a family program here on the radio. But if you go to travelguysradio.com, you can see the Gross Flight Attendant of the Year Award. And we have a couple of better stories. We mentioned about the little boy with autism. That's on the website also that you can see. That's just a great story. This is about, we've talked about this earlier in the program. This is about JetBlue. JetBlue has created this wonderful new program. Well, they're not really telling anybody about it, and you can kind of see why. When you learn about it, in fact, when we contacted JetBlue, when I called JetBlue and asked them if they would like to have someone come on and talk about it, the same lady who's quoted here in this article on the Huffington Post, Morgan Johnston, said that no, she would really rather that they just. She said it's the information's there in the release. This is the deal. They had a lady who it started with a lady named Tameka Lawson. She was a Chicago lady who wanted to represent her nonprofit organization at a conference in New York, and she didn't have the money to get there. Now, I don't know how JetBlue found out about this, but JetBlue flew her there for free, in the condition that she would pass that free flight along to someone else in need. So she found a teenager who was handicapped from a subway accident. And so she was able to use the ticket to fly to Seattle, and she passed it on to a street artist who used it to fly someplace to paint murals. And since it has flown a passenger to Haiti to build a neighborhood library, and a mom to Portland for a family reunion, it's called Flying It Forward. It's flown 10 people to 8 cities over 5 months. And JetBlue really doesn't want to talk about it. And I think it's just like one of the coolest stories that we've seen in a long time.
That's great. You know, I mean, it's good to see businesses find a way to, if you will, pay it back to their customers. This is great customer relationships. They don't necessarily need to promote it themselves. They've got you and I. And I'm sure that in each one of these cities where these Flying It Forward people reside, there's probably going to get some press for there. And you know what? This makes me say, you know, when I have the opportunity to fly on JetBlue, I'll fly so proudly because they're flying it forward.
Yeah, well, I think it's really a great program. Listen, every week we give away a Sports Leisure Vacations prize here on the Travel Guys, $100 travel gift card. And if nobody calls in and wins, it goes up $100 a week. We did have a winner last week, so the jackpot remains at $100. And it is the winner this week is Carolyn Michaels. She went to Santa Rosa on a day trip with Sports Leisure Vacations about a week ago, actually, last weekend. So, Carolyn, if you're listening, or you have a friend who is listening, who will tell you about this, call the Sports Leisure office Monday or Tuesday, and we will award you a $100 travel gift card. So, Thomas, I'm in town for a little while. Have jury duty tomorrow.
Well, all right. Go do your civic duty.
Civic duty.
And as a small business owner, I'm sure that this is not something that you get an opportunity to do very often.
No, not very often. So, but it's something everybody needs to kind of get in on every once in a while. So I'll do that. Then we're off to spring training. Wearing my Giants hat here today and listening to Marty Lurie on that Bay Area radio station that does the Giants. And baseball is just around the corner.
Everybody, if you don't already know, Sports Leisure Vacations used to be called Sports Leisure Travel. They started their business basically taking people to sporting events. And I would imagine, Mark, Going to Giants games and A's games was probably some of the very first early trips besides the gambler specials.
We should probably mention to folks who are folks that are listening, cheap sports leisure vacations plug here. We have trips to Giants and A's baseball games this year, and many of them are filling up pretty quickly. So if you are interested, just go to sportsleisure.com and you can find a list of all of the A's and Giants games. I'm taking 40 people to spring training, our largest spring training group ever.
Wow.
On the 12th of March. So we will have, we will be broadcasting live from Scottsdale Stadium in a couple of weeks.
And so you'll know, I've been on one of the ballpark trips with Sports Leisure Vacations, and it's like a door-to-door thing, you know. You get to ride the bus, you have some refreshments on the way, they let you off right in front of the park, you go in, you watch a game, you come back out, there's the bus waiting for you. Couldn't be a better way to see a game.
Yeah, if you have an extra beer, you don't have to worry about the drive home or anything like that, or the traffic or anything. Yeah, it really is the best way to go to the ball game. A wide variety of A's and Giants games offered throughout the summer. Go to sportsleisure.com for that. Are you going anywhere this next week? Oh, you have a big interview this week with the guy from the
Travel
Channel.
I do. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm going to be interviewing a couple of guys, a new television program, a series. It's a short series. It's on the Travel Channel. It's going to be like six episodes and over, and it's called Hotel Amazon. One guy has a desire and to build a hotel in the Amazon. He's very comfortable in that area. His friend won $45,000 on Wheel of Fortune, and he's investing in his best friend's dream. You be listening next Sunday. We're going to have the interview about this program. It's coming soon to the Travel
Hotel
Channel.
Hotel Amazon. We'll tell you all about it next week. Tom, you have a good week here at KFBK. I'm off to jury duty tomorrow. We'll see you next Sunday right here at 3 o'clock.